This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.
Tonight. Now, tonight we have AEW superstar Ryan Redbrand. Now we're gonna talk his journey. We're gonna talk his journey from the independent scene all the way to AEW, all the way to when he, you know, in between, probably trying to get a WWE tryout and why probably the WWE didn't give him a tryout. But brother Tez, what's going on tonight, my brother?
Oh man. Nothing much, man. Nothing much. Once again, happy to be back on the air again. This is our second week in a row back on the air. Unfortunately, Greg DeMarc had that situation. Like I said, I'm praying that he has a speedy recovery as well. But I'm happy to be on this show with you today. And I'm looking forward to the interview.
Man, yeah. Oh, definitely. I am too, man. I'm excited. And man, guys, you guys are going to want to stay tuned to this whole season because we got this month covered. We got a few weeks covered. And, man, what a season. I'm just going to say, what a season we have here for you guys this season on Open Talk Radio 313, not just for the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, but everywhere on the Open Talk, on the Open Talk map. Everywhere on the Open Talk map, we're winning. That's all we do here because we're the best, not the rest. We're Open Talk Radio.
So, yes, man, sir. Like yes, sir. Saying,
we got a hell of a show for you guys tonight. We got Ryan Redbrand, and I can't wait to have him on. If you guys want to give me a call before he comes on to the air, talk to the Texan about wrestling. If you want to ask me a question about my interviewee, because I actually did my homework today, and not just today, but like, man, I had so much to read up on this guy. I couldn't even catch up this week because I was working so much, and I've been doing my homework for the past 2 days on this guy. Man, he's got a lot going on.
Yeah, that's huge, man. See, you setting it up, man, because the way you pumping up this guy, man, it seems like he's going to be interesting and a good conversation. So can't wait to have him on, man. But we do have Jason on the line. If you
Oh, man. That's my boy.
Yes, sir.
What's going on, Jason?
What's up?
How you doing this week?
I'm doing pretty damn good. How about you?
Oh, man, you know, we can't complain over this way, man. We can never complain. We got you on the line. The show is going. The show is pumping. You know, we pumping and bumping over here, and then we got fans like you, man. You are our number one fan. Ain't no doubt about it, man. You pump us all up over here, Open Talk, man. We can't complain when you're on the line.
All right. For you and Martez, How do you guys feel about when people who don't know anything about wrestling try to assume they know more than you?
Oh, man. Oh. Well, I mean, it depends on who is criticizing the wrestling and saying that they know more about you and they don't know nothing about wrestling. Because for me, my opinion is if you don't know nothing or you don't know nothing, you know, if you don't know anything about wrestling, when I've been watching wrestling for almost 24 and a half years, almost 25 years, man, you better kick rocks and flip flops and get out of my face. Because you know what? I've been watching wrestling since I was, it's been 20 something years. I was like maybe, I want to say 10. Yeah, it's been 24 years. I'm 34 years old. I just turned 34 this year. It's been 24 years since I've been watching wrestling.
Wow, man.
So, you know, it's a big thing. You know what I'm saying? When somebody says that they know Ric Flair when they think it's Hulk Hogan. You can't mix up neither one. They're both great and whatever, but you think Hulk Hogan is Ric Flair and Ric Flair is Hulk Hogan, or probably think that Stone Cold is fucking Perry Saturn or Goldberg. Let me put it in that perspective. You know, you can't mix the two.
Right.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, did you run into somebody like that?
Yeah.
Oh man, I. So tell us the story. Let us know what happened.
I was at work one day watching. I forget what pay per view it was, and then they looked. They said, I know so much about wrestling, and then they had the nerve to say, too bad there's no well-known families in wrestling. I'm like, yeah, there are. And they just kept arguing with me, saying, no, there aren't. I'm like, yes, there really are.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, people like that, like, get on my nerves, because, like I said, I've been watching wrestling forever. If my wrestling was passed down to me from my uncle, and I'm an uncle myself, and I passed it down, so it's an uncle thing, but, man, you can't tell me anything about wrestling that I don't know, that I want to know, and I know a whole damn lot. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, because I'm like
I got a perfect story for you, too. This dude did the same thing to me. I used to, like 2-3 years back when I was at work, this guy's like, man, he's like, John Cena had more title runs than Ric Flair. I'm like, what? I was like, are you kidding me? And that's back before he was even a 15-time champion, right before he even broke the streak. I'm like, Ric Flair's at 16, my dude. And he's like, no. I was like, man, all right. I was like, looked it up on Google, and I'm like, man, I was like, dude, I was like, know your facts. I was like, I've been watching wrestling since before anything.
Yeah.
It's just crazy when people say stuff like that.
Right. I was dying laughing with that.
Oh, yeah, man. You get critics like that, man. You get people that try to down wrestling and then know wrestling, then like wrestling, then don't like wrestling. And I don't get it, man.
Yeah, something
like I know us wrestling fans are like, I'm a quote my brother Greg tonight. Greg, I hope you're listening. But wrestling fans are the worst. Wrestling fans are the worst. And when people that don't like wrestling say they know wrestling are worser, there's not even a such word as worser, but are worse than the people that are actual wrestling fans that are bad.
Yes. Well, then I hit them with this. Okay. So you say you know all about wrestling and stuff. Have you ever heard of deathmatch wrestling?
Oh, man, let them know. You better let them know about that deathmatch wrestling, but you already know it.
They said, what? And then I just walked away.
Yeah, I'll tell you, man, I'm like people – I say it on air because it's the truth. I love deathmatch wrestling. If anybody knows the Texan besides the show, out of the show, like my brother Greg knows me, he knows I love deathmatch wrestling. I can't wait till Horace Mann comes back, hopefully in February, because I am ready for some blood. I am thirsty for some blood, to see some blood in a deathmatch.
And then before I walked away from them, I just pulled one of these out. Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody.
Yeah, there you go. In the famous words of my brother Steve Rivera, the owner of PWAS over here in Detroit Pro Wrestling All-Stars, if you didn't know, you better F-I-O. That means you better figure it out. You better F-I-O.
Hey, Texan, I got a question for you, man.
What's that, brother?
I got about the deathmatch wrestling. I really want to talk about the thumbtacks. Have you ever seen a match where somebody was slammed into thumbtacks? And my question is, why do they want to go through that? Why do they want to put their body through all that?
I mean, to be honest, I mean, I'm not a deathmatch wrestler because, I mean, I can't really go into the mind of one of them and understand why or whatnot, but I guess it's for the same reason why a pro wrestler loves pro wrestling and does do what they do in the ring, because, I mean, they know it's going to cause injuries. They know down the line that their bodies are going to get tore up and everything and whatnot. But at the end of the night and at the end of the day, when, you know what I'm saying, when all the smoke is cleared, it's all for the entertainment of others.
True.
It's all for the entertainment of others. Because like I said, they and some of them are sick motherfuckers. I mean, let's be honest. Some of them are just sick. Like that dude up that we had last week, Alex Nabis. This dude, I seen him today. I posted on the Rated R fan page over there on Facebook that he was like, I finally did a death match, and he posted his whole death match. I didn't get a chance to watch it, but I'm going to watch that tonight after the show. You know what I mean? So, I mean, some of them like the blood, but some of them do it for the entertainment. Some of them, I mean, just do it for the love of the game. I mean, because let's be honest, indie deathmatch wrestlers, well, I'm going to say deathmatch wrestlers. I'm not going to say indie wrestlers because, I mean, let's be honest, deathmatch got its own entity. But they do it for, you know, they don't make much money. They don't make much money doing it. Well, it depends where you go, but I, as far as I know, they don't make much money doing this.
Yeah, they really don't.
And dude, I've seen people go through thumbtacks. I've seen, and I've actually filmed this stuff. And dude, I've seen light tubes fly over my head as I'm filming. And dude, let me tell you, it's a different experience. One, like I said, one day you're gonna you and Jason are gonna have to come with me and Greg to Horror Slam. Yeah, and we're gonna have to go. And I'm telling you, you're gonna feel the whole different experience. They give you both. They give you the love of the both of the both worlds, which is pro wrestling, and they give you the deathmatch wrestling. They'll give you a hell of a pro wrestling match featuring, suppose, you know what I'm saying, featuring a wrestler such as MM3 versus a TJ Myers. You know what I'm saying? Or Tanner Nix. Those are gonna be some of the greatest matches you'll ever see in wrestling in the Midwest. Because in Horace Mann and everywhere you see pro wrestling in Michigan, you're gonna see a match and you're gonna get your money's worth. Now, when it comes to the death match, you're getting more than your money's worth because you're gonna see wrestling, you're gonna see blood, you're gonna see light tubes, you're gonna see barbed wire, you're gonna see thumbtacks.
You're gonna see it all.
You're gonna see it all. Like MM3 can do both. MM3 can do a death match. He can throw down with a death match, but he can do a way better of a pro wrestling match. And I'll tell you that much. MM3 can do both. He's one of the guys that can do both.
Hey, that's amazing.
He's
man.
One of the guys that can do both. Yes, it's crazy. One day, you and Jason are gonna have to come in February. They're coming, and I've been fiending to get on the air like I did last week. I'm fiending for some wrestling. I'm fiending for some wrestling, guys, and I don't mean fiending like a smack. I mean fiending like Jodeci, fiending for his love of wrestling. I'm just fiending. I'm fiending for it.
Hey, me and you know what, man? I usually get my little wrestling fix when WWE comes to town, but who knows when they're going to come back. So I'm really going to have to start going to these indie shows because who knows when WWE will come back to Detroit, because I need that wrestling fix
right.
too, man.
And I'm just and I'm letting you know, man. It's Martez, and if Jason's still there, Martez, you guys, man. Indie wrestling is where it's at, because some of the people that show up to the indie shows, you'll never expect. If you go on my Deathmatch Wrestling Podcast 313 YouTube channel, and even the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313 channel that we have going on that we just started a few months back, dude,
yeah.
you'll see some of the biggest names on that podcast. Yeah, we had Enzo Amore come out from TKW. Man, we
right.
had, man, the list goes on. We had Lance in Hawaii on the show. Gangrel was on the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313 YouTube channel. Check that out. We got an interview with Gangrel, and we had his match that we filmed also. Man, the list goes on for days, man. Mickey Knuckles, which is an independent female wrestler. We had Rhino. We got Trey Miguel from Impact Wrestling. Just list, you know, RSP from GCW. I know a lot of people don't know what GCW is. That's congratulations to Priscilla Kelly. If you did you see the new signees at WWE
yep.
signed to NXT? Priscilla Kelly and that, them other two wrestler female wrestlers.
Yes, I did.
Yep, I saw that. Yep.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
Yep. Congratulations to them. Two of them, I think all three of them, but two of them, Priscilla Kelly and the one other girl, are from Deathmatch Wrestling and the independent wrestling scene. The one girl's from GCW, man, she throws down. Dude, she's been in GCW, man, and, they're going to be great. They're going to be great. I want to say they're going to have, like, a character, like, somewhat of a Shayna Baszler, like a dominant person, or, you know what I'm saying, or like an Asuka, because them females are going to go throw down in that ring. So, also, shout out to MSK making their debut last week to NXT in the Dusty Rhodes Classic. Also, dudes, those guys are from Impact Wrestling originally. They're gonna do something big in WWE. Also, they're gonna do something great.
Oh, definitely. When I look at them, because I didn't follow them too much in Impact Wrestling, but they have a lot of upside. They have a lot of potential. I mean, obviously, they already been wrestlers for a long time, but like that's a tag team that I can get behind, man. For sure.
Oh yeah,
right.
Most definitely, and that's what I'm saying. Like the only thing they're missing is Trey Miguel, man. Trey Miguel is that guy. Trey Miguel is actually, you know what I'm saying, was the leader of that group. Trey Miguel was actually the leader of that group, and when Trey Miguel, like I said last week, when Trey Miguel wants to come back and join his brothers, you know they're gonna dominate the NXT, just like the Undisputed Era. I want to say just like that. I want to say just like the Undisputed Era, man.
Yeah.
Because they're just that good. There they go. I was forgetting the name. The Rascals. I was forgetting their name in TNA. The Rascals.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know. They're going to do something great, and I can't wait. What do you think, Jason, about MSK?
I think they're pretty good. I'm just hoping that they don't water them down like they do a lot of people that come over.
Yeah, you're right, because, you know, in Impact, the Rascals were like a smoking group. They're nothing like Street Profits saying, oh, we want, because if you watch some of their stuff in TNA, if you guys go back and watch some of their stuff in TNA, they were around the ring and they were smoking their pen around the ring. They were a smoking team. Their whole gimmick was a smoking gimmick.
Oh.
Yeah, their whole gimmick was that. And, man, but they dominated, and Trey Miguel was going for the Impact World title a few times. But, I mean, you can't always win them. But, I mean, you know, he got a title shot, and the Rascals were getting the tag team title shots too.
Dang.
They were dominant.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm hoping that WWE or Triple H, I hope Triple H doesn't water him down. I hope he gives him a run like Undisputed Era would, would have, you know, like they, like they've been doing. Undisputed Era, man, they've done dominated from 2017 all the way till this second or till yesterday, you know what I'm saying, as they were on NXT, wrestling and doing what they're doing.
Yeah, man, I was telling Dominic yesterday on the show that it's amazing how long Undisputed Era has been on NXT, you know. And some of those guys in NXT,
right,
they don't want to leave NXT. They think NXT they consider NXT a main roster. Like, and they almost get offended that you would even want them to move up to Raw or SmackDown because they perceive NXT to be a main roster. And I got to give kudos to the Undisputed Era because they've been consistently good, like you say, since 2017, you know, and they've always been in a main event scene some kind of way. So I got to give that group a lot of credit, man.
Oh, yeah, and they've won awards. They won titles. They've all won their own titles. You know what I'm saying? The Roderick Strong, when he was the North American champion, became tag team champion. Bobby Fish and O'Reilly, they became tag team champions together. Adam Cole, Bay Bay, you gotta give it to him. He went for the tag from the tag team titles to the the North American champion, the first ever North American champion in the WWE or NXT. He won the tag team title which he gave to Roderick Strong when he came. And then you got when he won the NXT championship. You know what I'm saying? He's done won every championship there is to be
main roster or on NXT. That, you know, it's crazy, and I love it. I love Undisputed Era because they all came from the Indies. They came from Ring of Honor. They you know what I'm saying? They WWE did the right thing by picking all them up because they were all in Ring of Honor.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They were successful in Ring of Honor. They were very successful. Even Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly, they were feuding against each other. They weren't feuding, or they weren't tag team really in Ring of Honor.
You say they weren't, right?
No, they feuded a few times. They feuded a few times in Ring of Honor. They feuded a few times in Ring of Honor. And talking about Roderick Strong, man, Roderick Strong is trained by the Truth Martini, which is he runs the House of Truth over here in Michigan, Centerline, Michigan, and he brought a lot of people to success, man. If you guys want to, if anybody's inspiring to be a pro wrestler that's listening, go to the House of Truth. Look it up. Look up the Truth Martini on Facebook. Hopefully I can, man, persuade him to come on a show. I've been trying to persuade him for a good year, man. That dude's a busy guy, but he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, manager of all of Ring of Honor history.
Yep.
But yep, man, it's just crazy how everything, you know.
Man, I'm missing my brother Greg. I'm missing my brother Greg.
Yeah, you are.
It's
funny, man, because that's your partner.
That's your partner.
Yeah, you know it. You know it outside of this, off of these phones, we already know.
Yep, but on another note, nobody can feel in like he can, you know.
Like
so
can, you know?
I totally understand.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But, yeah, man, I'm waiting for my interviewee, Mr. Ryan Rembrandt from AEW, man. Like I said, I can't wait till he comes back, until he gets on the, line.
Gina is on the line.
Gina is on the line.
Okay, bring her on. Bring Gina on. We haven't had Gina on in a minute.
All right. Hi, guys.
Hi, Gina. Greg's not here tonight. He's feeling under the weather. Hopefully, he'll recover soon.
Well, if you talk to him, I hope he feels better.
We sure will.
So how's Gina? I'm doing good. How are you?
I can't complain.
Well, you got to make sure you tell him I hope he feels better soon.
Yeah, we need him to be better soon. But we're here. And what's going on with you? How you been? And what wrestling you want to talk about?
I'm doing good. I have EWX shows too. That I'm help promoting. So we got one. March 6th. And April 10th.
Okay. We got one coming up for Horseland somewhere in February. They haven't announced it yet, but they're going to have one. And hopefully...
Awesome.
Hopefully we'll get to have our wrestling.
I know we are. We had a show last Saturday in Princeton that turned out to be really good.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
We haven't had no shows yet over here in Michigan yet, though.
I guess Illinois be kicked to the punch, I guess.
Yeah. So, like I said, we're going to have our shows in February and March. March, for sure, we're going to have a TKW show, which is going to be one great show. We're going to have Madman Fulton from Impact over there, Congo Kong, Teddy Hart, and everybody.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's going to be one great show.
Like I said, I hope you feel better soon.
Yeah, me too. So, did you like the Rated R Wrestling Podcast show? Oh, yeah. Everybody, the Rated R Wrestling Podcast has its official T-shirts out. So if you guys want to pre-order one or actually order one, they're gonna be 15 plus shipping and handling, and it's a great shirt. Ask Gina. Gina, ain't it a great shirt?
Yes, it is. Hey, I need you later on to send me the total amount that I need to send you
our shirt.
Yes, ma'am. We sure will, and we appreciate your love over here.
Thank you.
So you're going to be staying tuned for the interviewee that I got, Ryan Rembrandt from AEW?
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. And even if you want to stay tuned and probably even call in, I'll see if we can take questions maybe.
That would be awesome.
We'll see if he'll do that.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'll listen.
Okay, no problem. So, anything else you want to talk about?
Nope, that's about it.
Okay. Well, hopefully he'll take a couple questions and you can ask a question.
Okay.
All right. Talk to you later, Gina. Thanks for calling. So, yeah, guys, anybody else want to give a call before my interviewee comes on? AEW's Ryan Rembrandt. Give us a call, area code 646-668-8672. Again, area code 646-668-8672.
Yep.
So what's going on?
Have you been paying attention to the build up to the Royal Rumble?
To be honest, I've been working a lot. Oh man, in a few weeks, guys, I got an exciting personal announcement I want to announce. It's a personal thing, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, sir. It's going to be a great announcement. And actually, me and Greg actually have an announcement to make together. Because it's a personal, but, you know, it's an announcement I'm going to want to make. It's going to be a great one. But, yeah, guys. Like I said, I'm waiting for... Okay, Mr. Rembrandt said he's ready. I'm pretty sure he's going to call in a minute. His next call is going to be from him. So yeah, Martez, man, you're more than welcome to ask some questions too, brother. You can fill in for Greg DeMarc tonight if you want on the questions for Mr. Rembrandt.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Cool.
I feel like I'm not a good partner tonight.
Oh man, you're always great, man. Come on, man.
No, I'm rusty.
I'm rusty.
I'm kind of, that's what I'm saying. I'm a little rusty myself, but I mean, hey, we gotta break that rust.
Yeah, I get lazy sitting back here just listening and pressing buttons.
I understand.
But yeah,
I got a couple good ones for him, man. I got a few questions for him, man. Like I said, I did my homework, man. He's done a lot, man, and I want to see what else he got going on. How was his journey joining AEW? What was it like getting that phone call? Who gave him that phone call? You know what I mean? His journey from the indie scene. You know what I mean? It's gonna be some fire.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, man. Those are some great questions.
Those are some great questions.
Man. It's weird because I can hear myself like an echo.
Okay.
I don't know if somebody's listening to the show while they're on here.
Yeah. Oh, I hear it too. I'm pretty sure.
When I talk to these wrestlers, I always want to know. How long did it take for them to get used to taking a bump? Because I've always heard that taking a bump is not an easy thing. So I definitely want to ask them about that.
Yeah, man, them bumps. Hey, listen, I'm not a pro wrestler, but I remember training about 2007, man, and taking them bumps, man. They're crazy.
Man.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. I think this is him. Saved by the bell.
Saved by the bell.
Here we go. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Is it him?
Yeah, I believe this is him.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. My guest for the evening, AEW's Mr. Ryan Rembrandt. How's it going tonight?
Going well so far. How are you guys?
Oh, man, we can't complain over here, man. We appreciate you taking your time and taking our invitation to join us on the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, brother.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Oh, man, we thank you for being on. But how's everything going, man? I've done my homework on you, man, and, man, you had a journey.
Yeah.
So, man, I got to ask you, man, you've been a wrestler for a very short time, man. You've been a wrestler for 4 years. And, man, how long before you were a wrestler, you know, before you became a wrestler, how long were you a fan of wrestling? Or what did you stumble upon wrestling? Or, you know what I'm saying, was you a fan for a long time before you became a wrestler?
Yeah, I was a fan. Since I was 8 years old, that's when I started watching it consistently.
Okay.
But even younger than that, I saw it on TV or ads or something, and it just looked really cool to me.
Right. Yeah, man. I've been watching wrestling for, like I said earlier, before you came on the show, you know, I've been watching wrestling for 24 years plus. And, man, I trained in 07, but, man, I don't know how you do it, man. You guys, them bumps, man. I trained for about 6 months, man, and I was like, I couldn't do it. But, man,
yeah,
the
bumps are real.
You guys, man, you guys are tough. I'll tell you that much, man. But you being from Layetteville, North Carolina, man. Who was your favorite wrestler growing up? I would have to imagine you being from North Carolina. It would have been Ric Flair.
Oh yeah, I love Ric Flair for sure. But for me,
the Hardy Boys.
I loved watching the Hardy Boys. The Hardy Boys grew up about 30 minutes away from where I grew up.
No way. That's crazy,
yeah,
man.
Growing up, the Hardy Boys. For sure.
Oh, man. Who was your influence to get you into wrestling? Was it a family member? Was it a friend? Was it a friend that liked wrestling? Or
Yeah, it was. I remember in third grade. Kids at the lunch table, we would always talk about different things. Sometimes they would talk about wrestling. And I remember at first, I heard about wrestling, but I never really followed it. And they would always talk. WWF, WCW.
Yeah,
the
Monday
time,
Night Wars, man.
People would talk about
those were the days.
About, yeah, they talk about Stone Cold and The Rock.
And
another guy talked
about
NWL.
Okay.
What was about it?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Who was your favorite group, NWR, or was you a DX guy?
Ooh, I would say NWO.
I love WCW.
Okay, okay. I can understand the beginning of WCW why you would, but I mean, end of it was kind of So I was actually an Attitude Era guy.
No.
So I mean, I understand though.
Oh, for sure.
But,
if I go back and watch it, like when I watch
wrestling
now, when I go back and watch old stuff,
WWF
is definitely the better choice.
I love my favorite wrestler of all time was The Rock. I don't care. Most electrified man, even the most electrified man nowadays in the Mall of Entertainment, you know what I mean? The Rock actually went out and did more than anybody could think possible. That was my favorite wrestler of all time. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I was just agreeing with you. Yeah, I like The Rock too.
Oh, okay. Okay. And who was you trained by, and how long did you train before you actually got your first match?
Okay, so I originally
started training at the WWA 4.
That's in Atlanta, Georgia. And AR Fox. He's a great trainer, too. So I trained there for
a bit, and then
I started having my first matches in front of an actual paying crowd in May 2017.
Okay, okay. Yeah, like I said, you've been around for a short amount of time, and you've done a whole lot, man. You actually made your way to AEW, like you've been on the indie scene, man. Like I said, I've done my homework. You've been on the indie scene. You've been in WWA, which was Wrestling American Alliance. I remember that. Hold on, let me see. I'm sorry.
So you're the WWA for it.
Yeah,
you have to act in for it.
Yeah. You did ACW, you did WWN, which is World Wrestling Network, which was purchased by WWE. You've been to WWA 4, which was World Wrestling Alliance 4. You actually faced one of my former guests in Logan Creed in FCW. SFCW.
Yeah, Southern Fried. I wrestled Logan Creed
in August, I believe.
Yeah, that was
he's a great
wasn't
guy.
That
yeah,
on
a great
IWTV?
No, they're not on IWTV.
No,
they're on YouTube.
Oh, they're on YouTube. Yeah, that's where I seen it at. That's exactly where I seen it at. Cuz I was watching a little bit of both. But yeah, man. You want to kind of elaborate on like what it was to be on from the indie scene all the way to making it to AEW, and was WWE actually your first choice before AEW was a thing? You know what I mean?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
I didn't catch all of that.
Well, I'm sorry. Like, you know, you made it from the indie scene. You went to WWN, which was like I said, it was purchased by WWE. Was WWE, like, you before AEW was even thought of, you know, was WWE where you wanted to be, or did you, like, have your eyes set somewhere else?
Really, I just wanted to
really,
go
wherever
I
could.
I just love wrestling.
Obviously,
WWE's growing up, but seeing how popular wrestling has gotten with the indies and AEW, even Impact is doing well. There's so many options.
That's what I'm saying. Like, because you made it to AEW, you know what I'm saying? What was it like? You know what I'm saying? Like, you want to kind of elaborate on your journey from being from the Independents, like making it all the way to AEW and getting that phone call.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
yeah.
this happened all because of the pandemic. So
everything shut down.
Half of AEW's roster wasn't allowed to travel. A lot of guys were from halfway across the country or from overseas. So they had to limit their talent they had.
And the school I train at now, the Nightmare Factory, that's in Atlanta, Georgia. So the students were basically, at the time, first pick.
So whenever they needed a guy to come in, they would choose us first.
And so I found out I was going to do AEW in May.
I found out the day before. It was super short notice. But yeah, I think it was May 5th, I believe it was, the first time I was on AEW. And so it was a complete shock to me, but it was, I was excited. I was ready for it. You know, it's just a great opportunity, and it's crazy because 2020 and the pandemic is, you know, as we all know, it's just terrible. We want it to be over. It's annoying. But there's a lot of good that came from it too. And that was one of the things, just the opportunity. And that wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for the pandemic. So it was kind of like I was just in the right place at the right time for that.
Right, right. Yeah, because, like, that's what I like about AEW, actually. Because, I mean, WWE's kind of been doing it for a while, but, like, AEW's, like, getting the homegrown talent from the indie scene to actually, you know, have a big platform like the WWE hasn't given them in a while. You know what I'm saying? Like, you guys are, man, I love the indies. The indies over here in the Midwest, we love them over here. Like, my brother Greg can go on and on about the indie scenes over here in the Midwest. I don't know if you follow or have ever been over here in the Midwest and wrestled over here in the Midwest, but we got some of the greatest talent over here that hasn't been on AEW yet, but we do have the Capital Vices. I don't know if you know them, Jason and Money. But, man, we got a whole lot of talent over here. But, like, that's what I love about AEW. They catch the indie guys and let them flourish on a big, like, on a big platform.
Yeah, for sure. They're definitely generous with that.
It's something different. Like, John Moxley, actually, he's from CZW, and he's done the independent scene for years. Even, like, I want to say the early 2000s, maybe, like, 2002, and, you know, he went to WWE and didn't even like what he was doing creatively and went to AEW, and he's doing the best thing that he's done in forever. And, you know, that's, like I said, that's what I love about AEW. They give you guys the creative, you know, the creative on your character, actually.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. What was that last part? It broke up a little bit.
Oh, no, I'm saying, like, AEW gives you guys creative control over your guys' character. That's what I like about them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. From what I've seen, that's what it looks like. It seems like there's a lot of freedom there. Now, I don't know too much. I'm not a full-time member. I've just been used in the appearances. But from what I see and from what I hear, it seems very, like, the creative is in your own hands, so to speak. You have a lot of leeway. From what I've seen.
Right. No, exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's what I like about AEW is that they're giving you guys, you know, a chance to actually be on a big platform. Like, you've faced Jungle Boy, you faced the Gun Club and all that other stuff, you know, so far.
Yeah.
You know, you've actually done a couple matches there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like,
yeah, it was awesome.
Like I said,
so much fun.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure, like I said, my brothers, Jason and Money, they're from, you know, one of them's from over here in Detroit, which is Jason, and they've done, you know, appearance or two in AEW, which they'll be, you know, back over here in Michigan soon.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, another thing I got to ask you is, is, do you have like pro wrestling tees or social media that you would like to let the listeners know, you know, where you're at or where they could get your merch?
Oh, for sure. Yes. I do have a pro wrestling tees account. You can just go search Ryan Rembrandt, pro wrestling tees / Ryan Rembrandt. It's going to pull up. I have two shirts on there. I've got a white shirt, blue logo. I've got a black shirt with a blue and white logo. We've got that. That's prowrestlingtees.com. My social media, Twitter and Instagram, is Ryan_Rembrandt. And I'm there on Twitter and Instagram. I use Instagram more than Twitter, but I'm trying to get better at that too.
Okay. Another thing I got to ask you, man, is when you got that phone call, who did you get it from to actually join AEW, but do your appearances? Was it Cody or was it Tony?
No, it was actually my trainer, my coach, QT Marshall. He and I actually hit him up. I actually texted him just to see if there was any availability. I was a little curious. I knew what was going on with the pandemic situation. So I just wanted to, you know, test my luck. And he responded, and he said he wasn't sure, but he would get back to me. A few days go by, I don't hear anything. So in my head, I'm thinking, oh, okay, well, maybe they chose somebody else. Like, no big deal. And then the next day, I get a text from him, and he says, yeah, come down to Jacksonville, bring your gear. And so I end up driving down to Florida and then wrestling that next day. So it was I texted my coach, QT Marshall.
Nice. Man, that, like you said, you were in the right place, right time, and that's just great, man. And I can't wait to see you more on, you know, AEW Dark and, you know, more of AEW Dynamite. And, man, hopefully, like, you know, in the future you'll get, you know, AEW TNT title match, or, you know what I'm saying, tag team title match, because like I said, I've watched a couple of your matches as the week went by, and, man, you're a great talent.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, hopefully that's definitely the goal.
Right, definitely. If you're not there to win gold, what are you there for? You might as well be a backstage, producer. But like I said, man, you're a great talent, and I would love to see you live one day. Hopefully, I'll be able to go to a Dynamite show, man, and you know, treat you to a dinner or something, man. I'm not saying it'll happen soon, but hopefully, you know what I'm saying, one day.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that. Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem, man. I'm sorry, I snagged off the time, but my brother Martez is on the line too. He had a couple questions for you, if that's okay with you.
Okay. Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Ryan?
Hey, good. How are you, man? What's up?
Good.
I'm sorry
for snagging
the time, Martez.
It's all good, man. This is your show. Thank you for letting me be a part of this interview. One of the questions that I do have is this. How do you handle this attention that you are receiving, being that you are moving up to different levels? So how do you handle the attention as far as, like, people seeking you out to do podcasts or being on AEW, as Southwest has said? How do you handle that?
Oh, two different ways. One, I have to just enjoy it. Just enjoy the moment, enjoy where I'm at. You know, it's something that doesn't happen to a lot of wrestlers, so I definitely have to embrace it, whether it's for podcasts or for bookings. It's been great. A lot of opportunities have came up, and I remember even my coach said, QT, he even told me, he said, you know, even if I don't get to be on AEW anytime soon, again, at least I won't have to worry about getting booked, you know, because now that I've had that experience, it'll just help me get more opportunities. So definitely enjoying the moment, but also just being humble about it too. Just being humble, realizing that, you know, it was something that it could have, you know, a lot of people don't get that opportunity. So just to, you know, be humble, be able to reflect on that, be able to be thankful. For sure,
right.
To be thankful for that too. So yeah, that's how I've been handling it so far, and so far so good.
That's good, man. That's good. What type of how should I put this? Because I don't really think it's fair for athletes to be perceived as role models. I don't think it's fair. But how will you handle adversity? You know, if you have haters and things of that nature, how will you handle that, or how have you been handling that?
I just ignore it. Usually, I just ignore it. Just keep doing me. Just focus on the positivity. You can't really, you know, it's cool to admire somebody for their work or to, you know, hold somebody in high regard. But, you know, you never want to put someone else above another person. You know, we're all humans at the end of the day. So, you know, nobody's like, I'm no more important than any other wrestler, you know, or any other person. So I think just having that mentality, and then if something negative were to come up, I just ignore it, just brush it off. If it's constructive criticism, that's one thing. But if it's just, you know, somebody being a hater or whatever, then, you know, just in one ear, out the other, you know, just keep moving.
Absolutely. And I got one more question, and I'll turn it back over to Southwest. Is there a big adjustment from going from wrestling a technical wrestler to wrestling a high-flying wrestler? Is that a big adjustment going from wrestling somebody with people with two different styles, if I could just spit it out? Is that a big adjustment?
Yeah, it can be. It depends. I like that technical style too. So if I'm wrestling somebody with a technical style, I think I'm a lot more comfortable for sure because it's my zone. I can do that. If somebody's a high flyer, you definitely have to adjust to that. And, you know, there's different ways to look at it. But I think you definitely have to be on your toes. You have to be on your toes because there's so much creativity that comes with the high-flying style. You just got to be ready for it, be ready just for anything. So I think just being on my toes for that. But, yeah, it's definitely an adjustment for sure.
Awesome, awesome. All right, Southwest, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
All right, man. But, yeah, man, we really appreciate your time and coming on to the show, man. Hopefully we can have you on again soon.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem, man. We appreciate you. Like I said again, man, hopefully we can have you on again.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you for taking our invitation. Have a good night, man.
All right, you too. Bye.
All right, guys, that was Ryan Rembrandt from AEW. Guys, if you guys have a question for the Texan about Ryan Rembrandt, or if you guys want to talk wrestling before we go off the air, because tonight's going to be a short show. I forgot to mention that in the beginning. It's going to be 7:30 tonight. Actually, stay tuned for the Gorilla Position after, well, at 8 o'clock, I'm usually used to saying after the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. But, again, pray for my brother, Greg. He's under the weather. That's why I'm kind of a little iffy about things tonight. Well, not iffy, but if I kind of seem a little off tonight, you know, it's because I'm praying for my brother, you know. But, yeah, Martez, what'd you think about Ryan Rembrandt?
I loved it. I loved it. This was another great interview, a great talker. He gave us information, a lot of information on his background and things of that nature. So, yeah, another good interview.
Oh, yeah. Was Greg on the line?
Yeah, I can bring him on. Against my better judgment, I can bring him on, man.
Yeah, I kind of didn't want to either. That was my thing, too. But, I mean, if you want to bring him on the line, because, hey, Greg, I'm sorry for not doing it on the interview. I love you, brother. I'm sorry.
You are the CEO of the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, man.
Yeah, I know, but Jesus, man, that's my brother no matter what, man. I kind of felt bad, but that's why I kind of cut it short, too. Because tonight wasn't the night, man.
Yeah, it's not.
And like I said, guys, if I feel like if you guys hear like I'm kind of off, it's for a reason because my brother's not doing well. But I do have great news coming up after my brother Greg Mark come back.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
yeah,
and,
guys.
And Greg, get well soon, man. Nobody can tag team with Southwest like you.
No, not at all. That's why it's like somebody defending the tag team championship. again, like with one person against two. You can't do it. You can't do it. I got used to him being here. I love my brother so much, man. It's crazy.
Man.
But next week, guys, on the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, we have another, like I mentioned my brothers earlier, Capital Vice and Jason and Money. We'll be back on the show next week. I can't wait for that. Hopefully, my brother Greg DeMarc, man, hopefully you'll be on the show next week with me and the Vices, man, and hopefully we can be going strong again, man, because without you, man, this Rated R, man, it ain't a team without you, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
So, you guys, like I said, stay tuned for the Gorilla Position. Brother Tez, I'll be talking to you after this. Greg DeMarc, I love you. Get well soon, brother. Next week. Capital Vices, I love you guys. Have a great night.
Welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Non-stop action, interesting. We got that. The Southwest Texas, Day-Day Cruise. Yeah. Welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast.